Aswadharma nishtaha.
One who is situated in his own dharma or occupation.
Shatajanma
Bhiki. For 100 births.
Puman.
A living entity.
Purinchitam.
The post of Lord Brahma.
Eti.
Gets.
Tataha.
Thereafter.
Param.
Above.
He.
Certainly.
Mam
attains me.
Avyakritam,
without deviation.
Bhagavataha,
under the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
Ata,
therefore.
Vaishnavam,
a pure devotee of the Lord.
Padam,
post.
Yata,
as.
Aham,
I.
Vibhudaha,
demigods.
Kalat,
after the annihilation of the material world. So, translation. A person who executes his occupational duty properly for 100 births becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma. And if he becomes more qualified, he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna or Vishnu, an unalloyed devotional service is immediately promoted to the spiritual planets. Lord Shiva and other demigods attain these planets after the destruction of this material world. So you can repeat. A person who executes his occupational duty properly,
for 100 births,
becomes qualified to occupy the post of Brahma.
And if he becomes more qualified,
he can approach Lord Shiva. A person who is directly surrendered to Lord Krishna
or Vishnu,
an unalloyed devotional service,
is immediately promoted
to the spiritual planets.
Lord Shiva and other demigods
attain these planets
after the destruction of this material world.
So, purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. This verse gives an idea of the highest perfection of the evolutionary process as described by the Vaishnava poet Jayadeva Goswami. Pralaya payori jalehi dhritavan asi vedam. Let us begin tracing the evolutionary process from the point of devastation, pralaya, when the whole universe is filled with water. At that time, there are many fishes and other aquatics, and from these aquatics evolve creepers, trees, etc. From these insects and reptiles evolve, and from them birds, beasts, and then human beings, and finally civilized human beings. Now the civilized human being is at a junction where he can make further evolutionary progress in spiritual life. Here it is stated, Swadharma Nishtaha, that when a living entity comes to a civilized form of life, there must be swadharma, social divisions according to one's work and qualifications. This is indicated in the Bhagavad Gita in the 4th chapter, text 13. Chaturvarnyam maya shrishtam gunakarma vibhagashaha. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. In civilized human society, there must be the divisions of Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, and Shudra, and everyone must properly execute his occupational duty in accordance with his division. Here it is described, Swadharma Nishtaha, that it does not matter whether one is a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, or Shudra. If one sticks to his position and properly executes his particular duty, he is considered a civilized human being. Otherwise, he is no better than an animal. It is also mentioned herein that whoever executes his occupational duties with dharma for 100 births, for instance, if a brahmana continues to act as a brahmana, becomes eligible for promotion to Brahmaloka, the planet where Lord Brahma lives. There is also a planet called Shivaloka, or Sada Shivaloka, which is situated in a marginal position between the spiritual and material worlds. If after being situated in Brahmaloka, one becomes more qualified, he is promoted to Sadashivaloka. Similarly, when one becomes even more qualified, he can attain the Vaikuntha Lokas. The Vaikuntha Lokas are targets for everyone, even the demigods, and they can be attained by a devotee who has no desire for material benefit. As indicated in Bhagavad Gita in the 8th chapter, text 16, one does not escape material miseries even if he is elevated to Brahmaloka. Abrahma bhuvanal loka punar avartino arjuna. Similarly, one is not very safe even if he is promoted to Shivaloka because the planet of Shivaloka is marginal. However, if one attains Vaikuntha Loka, he attains the highest perfection of life and the end of the evolutionary process. Mamupecha tu kontiya punarjanma na vijate. In other words, it is confirmed herein that a person in human society with developed consciousness must take to Krishna consciousness in order to be promoted to Vaikuntha Loka or Krishna Loka immediately after leaving the body. Chatvadeham purna janma naiti mam eti sorjuna. Bhagavad Gita, 4th chapter, text 9. A devotee who is fully in Krishna consciousness, who is not attracted by any other loka or planet, including Brahmaloka and Shivaloka, is immediately transferred to Krishna Loka, Mam Eti. That is the highest perfection of life and the perfection of the evolutionary process. Okay. Svadharma nishta shata janma vipuman virinchitam meti tataparam himam avyakritam bhagavato ta vaishnavam param yataham vibhudakalat yaye. So Om Ganati Vananda Shah Gananjana Shlakaya Chakshur and Meditam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So there's many slow Vedic processes mentioned in the Vedic literatures. And this is one of them, that you have to become a Brahmin for 100 births, and then you go to Brahmaloka. There's other ones, such as if you want to go to Indraloka, then you have to perform 100 horse sacrifices. And if you do that, you go to Indraloka. Of course, the problem with performing 100 horse sacrifices, in addition to the fact that you need expert Brahmins, and if you don't chant the mantras properly, you're responsible for killing the horse. In addition to that whole thing, and, you know, so much money and paraphernalia, other types of paraphernalia, the most problematic aspect of the that particular Ashwamedha sacrifice is the envy that Lord Indra has. Because when you're performing that sacrifice and you get to, like, number 75 or 80... Indra starts getting a little nervous. And when you get to 90, he gets really upset. And when you get to 99, then he just does all sorts of things, like he did with Prithu Maharaj. With Prithu Maharaj, he was actually sending, he was appearing, actually, as in different sannyas garb. Sometimes he would be like a sannyas with skulls and crossbones or whatever. And then he would steal the horse. And Prithu Maharaj's son, I think his name was Vijitashva, would try to get back the horse each time. When he saw Indra, in the guise of a sannyasi, he was very reluctant to oppose the sannyasi, because in Vedic culture, you're not supposed to, like, disrespect the sannyasi. Even if the sannyasi happens to be completely bogus, that's an aspect of culture. So Indra was interfering in that way. In the Ramayana, this is a very interesting story, too. There was one Brahmin who was executing austerities, and Indra thought he wanted to go to the heavenly planets. So Indra, in that particular case, sent down these five apsaras. Apsaras means basically the dancing girls of heavenly planets. So, they don't dance ballet, but it's something much more attractive than ballet, than the Nutcracker Suite or something like that. So they came down, they danced, and this particular sage, he simply became attracted to them, and he forgot about a lot of his austerities, and he created a place within the water so he could enjoy with them in the water, like water pastimes. And so they were underwater. So what happened is in the Ramayana, it's a very interesting story. Lord Ram came to this lake, and he was hearing all this nice music, you know, whatever, from the lake, and he asked the sage, I think it was Sutikshna at that point. He asked the sage, Sutikshna, why is all the music coming from this lake? And Sutikshna explained that this was a great sage. He still is a great sage, you know, just happens to be married now. But and he's under the water with these five apsaras, and they're singing and dancing under the water. Wouldn't that be nice? It's a lot nicer than scuba tanks and skin diving, isn't it? Where you can actually go under the water and have songs and everything. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Anyway, I think so. So, of course, if we become attracted to that, we can't go back to Godhead, as Prabhupada said. And this is actually so many stories. You know, Vishwamitra's story with Menaka, and then finally Ramba. And there's so many stories of Indra trying to send in impediments. Different types of impediments, you know, birds passing stool on Vishwamitra Muni's head. And because Indra is a Sakama devotee, he's a great devotee, don't get me wrong. It's not that he's a demon or anything like that. He even has Lord Vishnu as his younger brother, Upendra. That means little Indra, or Indra's brother, or close to Indra, Upa. Upa means close, so someone who's close to Indra. So it's very difficult to attain these positions because these positions are already there. Just like in the corporate world, you know, there's actually a lot of competition for positions. And if you have an assessment means they try to figure out how you did, how you can do, then if someone happens to be your competitor, either on an equal level or above you, they sort of put you down. So that you can, you know, you don't make your way up the corporate ladder because they want to keep you on a lower level. Not always, but, you know, sometimes they want to do that. So it's the same thing with the demigods. You want my position? Well, see if you can get it. You know, so because there's a lot of passion there. Passion is a very interesting thing. And generally one becomes a demigod because they have this passion. So passion is quite interesting. I was actually also hearing yesterday this nice story about Lord Ramachandra fighting with Kar. You know, he fought with these two demons in the forest, Kar and Dushana. You know, first of all, Surpanaka came, and she had passion. And she wanted to enjoy Ram. And she said to Ram that soon you were going to forget this lady with the sunken belly. Because, you know, Sita had a nice thin waist. For Rakshasas, that's considered a sunken belly. And the Surpanaka, she had big pot belly. So, anyway, so eventually you know that she got certain appendages cut off on her body. And then, first of all, they sent these 14 giants, Rakshasas, and Ram with just one arrow just like wiped them all out. And then 14,000 Rakshasas, and Ram killed them. And then finally, there was Kar and Dushana, the brothers of Surpanaka, and also the brothers of Ravana. And what happened is that Ram first of all killed Dushanup. And then, but Kar was the last one. And talking about passion, he was just challenging Ram. And, you know, basically, you know, you're hopeless, you're worthless, you know, you're going to die. And Ram also did the same thing. He was saying that, you know, you Rakshas, I'm going to rid the earth of you, finally. All these challenging words. And the Rakshas even said, those who are actually heroic don't speak before they fight. They just exhibit their prowess. But, you know, Ram being superhero, not like the so-called superheroes that some people like, he can brag about his prowess beforehand. So anyway, so he killed. So this passion, you know, passion means like the lust to enjoy someone else, the thinking, making plans to enjoy someone, having a position. And another point is that when one gets these positions, he finds out they're not all they're cracked out to be. In other words, people are thinking, you know, I'd like a higher position in the planetary hierarchy or Lord Brahma, but Lord Brahma is in anxiety all the time. He has four heads and he has headaches from four heads. You know, people come and complain to him all that. It's not that you just get to sit there and watch the dancing girls all day long. I mean, that would be interesting. But when you have a position like Lord Brahma, you know, like Bhumi comes to you, you have a complaint box, your feedback mechanism, you know. So Bhumi comes and complains, Lord Brahma, you know, I am overburdened with all these demoniac personalities. And Lord Brahma says, oh, not again. And then he has to go to the shore of the ocean of milk. And then Lord Vishnu sends a message. And then, I mean, so many problems are there. Sometimes your children disobey you, like the four Kumaras. Even Lord Brahma has disobedient children. He wanted to get them married. Just like many people, like in Hinduism, they want to get their children married, and the children don't want to marry the person they want them to marry, and they're in anxiety about... I was just reading, actually, how if one has a daughter, they're in complete anxiety about getting her married, isn't it? In the Vedic culture. You're just like shaking with anxiety. Oh, my God. You know, she has to be married. She's not married. I mean, there's so many curses the father has to endure if he doesn't get a daughter married at a certain time. So there is anxiety in these positions, especially the position of Lord Brahma, Lord Indra, Vayu, you're in charge of the wind, or the other demigods, Varuna, you're in charge of the ocean. I mean, and then the demons are taking shelter. And there was one time the demons took shelter in the ocean. And Agastya Muni, he had to drink up the whole ocean drink up Varuna, just so that the demigods could attack the demons. So it's not really something that's nectarian when you hear about the heavenly planet, and you're in anxiety about the demons attacking. So you may hear about all the benefits of being in the heavenly planets. And then when your good karma runs out, you come back to the earth. So it's really not all it's cracked out to be in the heavenly planets. Plus, as mentioned here, it takes a long time to go to the heavenly planets by the Varnashram process. And an interesting story in the Mahabharata, too, about the gradual process of evolution from one species to another and from one varna to another. There's a story of Srila Vyasadeva. I've told this story before, but it bears telling again. That Srila Vyasadeva was walking on the road one day, and on the road he saw a worm. You know, worms are on the road all the time. And the worm was, like, basically sprinting, if worms can sprint, you know, quickly across the road, you know, very quickly, wiggling. Obviously, worms don't have legs. So he's just going, And Vyasadeva said, you know, why are you in so much anxiety? You know, going across the road so quickly, you know, take your time. You know, I'm not going to step on you. And the worm said, basically, worm Uvacha, that, you know, I'm feeling the vibration in the road. And he goes, worms don't have ears, but they can feel vibration. So he's feeling a vibration in the road, and I know a big cart is coming. And if I stay on the road, guess what?
I'm a worm pancake. Yeah, I'm going to be squished. Nobody likes to be squished. It's like when I'm riding a bike, I'm very careful about the cars. I don't want to be a sannyasi pancake. You know, so I'm very careful. You know, crossing the road, you look both ways. His mother taught you to do that. So the worm is also thinking in the same way. You know, just let me just like go quickly. Vyasadeva said, "I have some good news for you. Not even bad news." He said, "Look, as soon as you die, natural cause. You know, you should not commit suicide. I don't know how worms commit suicide, but." He said, if you die a natural cause, you know, like from an accident or something like that, then guess what? You're going to work your way up the evolutionary hierarchy. And from a worm, I guess you become a butterfly. I don't know what the next thing is. But, you know, you know, like Prabhupada mentioned, see, there's 8,400,000 species of life. There's aquatics, and Prabhupada talks about this in the beginning. There are fishes and aquatics, and these aquatics evolve creepers, trees, etc. From these, insects and reptiles evolve. From them, birds, beasts, and then human beings, and finally civilized human beings. So this is interesting in Prabhupada talks, because this appears to be very similar to the materialistic understanding of evolution, doesn't it? So, but it's done by the supervision of the demigods, which means ID or intelligent design. You know, the demigods, anyway, demigods do this. And sometimes one demigod gives birth to different creatures, like you have Kadru, Vinata, the wives of Kashyapa, and they're giving birth to, Kadru is giving birth to snakes, Vinata is giving birth to birds. So this happens. So anyway, so there's this evolution. And this is spiritual evolution of the soul. Even when all the species are present here, then you have the soul go in a predictable pattern from one species to another. It's actually predictable because you work your way up gradually. It's not that you're all of a sudden you're an insect and then the next day you find out you're a demigod. It's gradual, except in the case where there's a devotee who happens to give you some prasadam. You know, you go up to the worm and say, "Here's some mahaprasadam," and the worm eats it, and next thing you know, the worm's in a Vaikuntha airplane going back to God. It like Lord Chaitanya with a dog. When Lord Chaitanya had a puppy, then the puppy was seen going back to God. Two dogs. One puppy and one dog. When he was young, as a child, he had a puppy. The mother tried to get rid of the puppy. And the puppy went back to Godhead. And when he was older, after he had taken sannyas, there was that dog who would follow the devotees from Bengal to Puri, Jagannath Puri. And that dog was catching the coconut pulp that was thrown by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And that dog was chanting Hare Krishna, and that dog went back to Godhead. So by devotional service, not only can we go back to Godhead, but a dog can go back to Godhead. So this actually is the same thing as the Mormons say. When you become God conscious, you go back with your dog. Anyway, so but your dog is no longer a dog. So anyway, getting back to the story, Vyasadeva said this to this worm, and the worm not only that you're going to take a higher birth, you know, he didn't only explain the evolutionary process from one species to another, but he said eventually you become a Shudra, you know, a human being, and eventually you become a Vaishya, and eventually you become a Kshatriya, and I'll be your guru when you're a Kshatriya, and eventually you become a Brahmin, and eventually you go back to Godhead. So this eventually was a long time. And so the worm thought, well, you know, why prolong this worm life? So he just remained in the middle of the road and, as predicted, squish. He got squished, and then he made, you know, as they say, a worm became a butterfly. And you can fly too. So the worm, his next life, went higher. So, you know, higher, I guess it was millions of lifetimes, basically. Because even within every species, there's different varieties. As Prabhupada said, there's 400,000 species of human beings. Did you know that? 400,000 species of human beings. And that's a lot, isn't it? I wonder what species you are. So that's why you have, like in the Bhagavad Gita, you have this, one of the types of people don't surrender to Krishna is Naradama, lowest among mankind. In other words, like, you know, aborigine, practically speaking. Although not, in the modern world, people who are just like with aborigine consciousness are considered like more spiritual. You know, that's a politically correct thing to say or to think. It's interesting, you know, the spiritual, the natives who were so spiritual, and now we are less spiritual than them. I mean, anyway, they had some good points, too, because they realized the inherent unity of all of nature. We're not denying that. So anyway, so this worm, he made his way up gradually became Shudra, and Vaishya, and Kshatriya, and Brahman, and in the higher classes, he had accepted Srila Vyasadeva was his guru, and he went back to Gaudiya. And that's a long process. So I don't have the patience for that long process. Like sometimes in the beginning days, when the devotees would go to India, they would be told that if you serve nicely in your next life, then you can take birth and worship Lord Jagannath or some deity in the temple. The devotees were actually insulted like that, right? Mm-hmm. Do you remember that? And Prabhupada said, you can tell those people that if they go back to God, if they do Sankirtan and join our movement, they will be qualified. You know, Prabhupada just turned it around on the people who were insulting the devotees. And, you know, so, and even in the movement now, sometimes you'll find people say that, you know, you Westerners, you do devotional service nicely, then in the next life you can take birth in India. I've even heard that. You know, even some people have, you know, attempted to insult me, saying that, you know, well, he was just born in the United States. And, you know, next life you can take birth in India in a Brahmin family. But, you know, right now, even some Gaudiya groups speak like that, too. You know, I'm not going to mention who they are. That, you know, this whole thing. So, we hear in Bhagavad Gita that anyone, whatever birth they be of, Sri Sudra Dvija Bandhunam, even they have this philosophy in ISKCON, it still goes on, that if a woman serves nicely, she can take birth as a man in the next life. Isn't it? It's not my philosophy, but, you know, many so-called chauvinistic people would speak like that. You know, you just serve nicely, serve your husband nicely, then you'll take birth as an auspicious birth as a nice man in your next life. And then you can execute devotional service and be the boss. So, that's not the case that anyone who takes up devotional service, Sri Sudra Dvija Bandhunam, as Krishna says in the Gita, whether they're friend of the twice born, that means they're born in the Brahmin family, they're not really qualified, or they're just, as Prabhupada would say, they're sacred thread holders. People who have a Brahmin thread don't have Brahminical qualities. Or, you know, in any, whether male or female, born in the West, anyone who takes up paramgatin, yepiyanti, paramgatin, they can go back to Godhead. So there's hope for all of us. But we have to, as Prabhupada said, completely surrender. That's the point. And worshiping the demigods, you know, the evolutionary process, you don't have to completely surrender. You can have, you know, material desires. You can mix the whole thing. But if we want to go back to God and take advantage of the benediction mentioned here, that we can go directly back to God and Krishna, being devotees of Krishna, we have to be 100%, not 99%, not like, what is it, ivory soap, 99.99% pure. It has to be unalloyed. Alloy means you mix with some other element. And that means that simply our only desire, anyabhilashata shunyam, free of all the desires, has to be to please Krishna. And the only way we can do that is, as we mentioned last night, just hearing and chanting about Krishna performing bhakti yoga. Hearing and chanting 24 hours a day absorption. So any questions or comments? We got about 1 minute left to class. Yeah. Anyway, figure out who. All right, what's the question?
Well, I was going to say, because the Prabhupada said that he was standing for a life, and, you know, the usual question, but I was going to
say, yeah, so if you want to go back to Godhead, of course, we will. How much advancement we have in this life, swapamap yashadharma shuchayate mahatobayat, it's not lost. And we're freed from the most dangerous type of fear. But, you know, unless we're 100% unalloyed, then we have to come back again to this world. Of course, Krishna is very merciful, don't worry, that even at the time of leaving this body, like, was that Maharaj Katvanga? Maharaj Katvanga, he was fighting for the demigods. The demigods offered him a benediction because he did a good job. And he said, I simply want to know when I'm going to die. And so they told him, you know, a few seconds. We're going to count down. 10, 9, 8. You know, like a spaceship taking off. And he immediately came down to earth and surrendered to the Lord. So at the last minute. You can do that at the last minute. You know, you can do that at the time of death. But especially at the time of death, I mean, you shouldn't be absorbed in other things. You know, it's not that, like, you got 10 days to live and then you go to the movies. You know, there's several movies I haven't seen. I haven't seen the whole Star Wars series, so I'm going to see that before I leave my body. But you have to take advantage. And if you cry out to Krishna at the time of death, Krishna can help you become completely purified at that time. There's many instances of that, too. At least you won't see the Yamadutas. That's actually reassuring.